Hello, beautiful people. I'm Bonnie Gillespie, and you're tuned in for season 10 of The Work. There was a time in 2018 where I had a really interesting health situation happening, and it led to a mind-body healing journey that would completely transform my life. But at the beginning, when we weren't sure what was going on with me, and I was having lots of tests and was admitted to the hospital and saw all sorts of specialists and tried everything ranging from the typical pain management strategies all the way to the extremely woo-woo, I was a little vague about what was going on with me, mainly because no one knew what was going on with me. Also, I didn't give it a lot of airtime because when I'm in a fatalistic place, talking about what's not working gets me really dark really fast. I don't know about you, but I prefer to be optimistic about my future, excited about all that's still ahead of me in life. And so I tend not to focus too much on what's not serving me at any given time. I learned, though, through this that I was, for a while, having to really make friends with fear. And frankly, I'm not a fan of fear. I mean, I get its purpose. Fear is wired into me so that I can avoid danger and have a keen, intuitive ability to stay out of trouble. But when in a place of not knowing, you know, like test results aren't in yet, more tests need to be ordered, experts are conferring, we're giving every dang thing I'm trying time to find its groove and help me even just a wee bit with the pain, fear gets bored, so he likes to make up shit. Things like, I'm never going to work again. Life as I knew it is over. My brain can no longer function like it used to, and so on. Fear can get really creative in all the worst ways, but you probably know this because you, from time to time, have absolutely been certain you'll never work again, that the run of bookings you experienced at one time it was a fluke and will never happen again, that you were way too smug thinking that your dream agent was actually always going to be there for you, so on. We all have the same so on when fear gets churned up, right? Because we're powerful storytellers. We share this talent for creating some really fantastic stories, even when it's not serving us to do so. This is pretty much universal. I know this, of course, from having worked with clients all over the world on everything from that first hurdle of getting even copy credit meals work all the way up to the sticky politics of leaving one of the bigs for another during a heated three-picture deal negotiation worth millions. No matter what level, what tier of artist I'm working with, there's a thread running through most creatives, and its name is fear. Back in 2018, I described mine as a pinky toe hangnail-sized irritant, asking me now and then whether I could really feel that it's safe to be sure that Whole30 would allow me to weigh so little without effort, that sobriety would provide me with more intuitive gifts than I ever thought possible when I was busy dulling my shine. Or that my business would hit empire status and then teach me new levels of empire status month after month. Pretty much as we entered 2018, I was asking myself, can it really be this easy to be so happy and so fulfilled? And at some point, that pinky toe hangnail size irritant of fear became all I could see. It happened slowly, so I couldn't perceive its growth. Blame the pain, blame the drugs, blame the lack of sleep, blame the combination of all this, plus the fact that as a creative, I have a brilliantly active storytelling brain that can spin all sorts of darkness out of the tiniest what-ifs, which is why I make it a priority to keep my mindset clean. I know what it's capable of, unchecked. Blame whatever you want. The fact is, shit got dark. I'm using the past tense because one of the things that happens when you can't see past fear for so damn long is that ultimately, you surrender. You kind of have to. Everything else just gets far too unpleasant otherwise. So, I shared in 2018 a little bit about my process of healing and the work that I was doing, and I went through a kind of rough run of some really debilitating pain, and I was desperate for hope, unable to put my words together. I really just wanted to scream that someone order another test. You could picture that "give my daughter the shot" moment in terms of endearment. I just collapsed, and I said, my only job is to heal. I clocked out of everything else. I decided at that point, if I never, never, never again make anything for actors or artists or creatives in showbiz, it's okay, I've done enough. I stopped trying to make the few hours a day when the combination of drugs and pain happened to intersect in a way that I could coach or answer an email or make plans for a future me who wasn't writhing in pain into productive time. I uncharacteristically stopped looking for windows during which I could be active in some way, be proactive, be me. I only had 3 hours a day during which I had any lucidity whatsoever, and I stopped trying to build things, create things, prove my value. I instead said, even if I only had 5 minutes, great, I feel like myself for 5 minutes. That's 5 minutes that I'm going to do some mindset work. I'm going to listen to some Abraham Hicks. I'm going to soak in the tub. I'm going to try to sleep. I'm going to stop thinking about this because I'm fucking brilliant. And if thinking about it, we're going to fix it. I've put in my 10,000 hours for it and it's not working. So give up thinking and just accept that you don't get to figure this out. When I came to that moment, it's like I unlocked some secret labyrinth with that code. And off the chemicals in my brain and in my body went, redistributed with new purpose and new freedom to explore on their own, winding through and conquering pain in new ways. And within a couple of days, a fog had lifted. I smiled. I felt like myself for the first time in weeks for more hours at a time than I was used to. At that point, I cried for a whole new reason. Everything's going to be okay. Even if I've done everything I will ever do for creatives in this business, I've done enough. It's been a good run. There's nothing more to achieve, nothing to prove. Everything from here on out is bonus points. I am, and I always have been, enough. Holy crap, did I sleep after that? Like 2 days straight, and sleep is some healing shit, y'all. Now, back then, science would tell you, of course, I wasn't out of the woods. And of course, our experience would tell you I was not out of the woods at that time. But my spirit was elated to flit through these new woods. There's no fear there. I found that I was relaxed enough to be in receiving mode for healing to come. By realizing I don't get to think my way through this, that my most powerful weapon in life, my brain, is something I can't invite to this party. My brain has to slow down. Things actually got pretty damn awesome. I share this with you because it underscores what I've always said in all of my work, mindset first. Nothing else can be right enough for you to succeed in this career or in life if your mindset isn't in the right place. As often happens with shift in mindset, solutions come rushing in where they were previously blocked just moments before, and in my inbox probably sent just after I started that big sleep I talked about was an email from a bodywork practitioner, Rachel Hardy. She's also a member of the SMFA Ninjas community, so you've probably seen her in your Self-Management for Actors travels. She's a brilliant creative, but when she was reaching out to me with this email, she was doing so in her role as mind-body bodywork practitioner healer. In this email, she shared a tactic that I would end up using for hours, and it was something that I loved so much, I ended up sharing it in a group coaching call with one of my masterminds, and I got feedback from several members that it's absolutely applicable to a creative career. And this is called separating the sensation from the story. Now, Rachel tells me this concept comes from a medical biophysicist and psychologist named Dr. Peter Levine, who is well known for his work in somatic experiencing therapies. As a part of this field of study, he looks at specifically ways in which we're capable of rewiring the nervous system. Obviously, this is right up my alley. I'm so impressed that this advice not only helped me get some sleep and some relief and some levity, but that it also helped with acting advice I was able to provide on a membership call just a few days later. And of course, that is why I am sharing this ninja resource here. Here are some words that Rachel Hardy shared with me. You already know on an intellectual level that you don't have to believe the negative stories that have been running around inside your head about what's going on. Knowing this intellectually is a start. Practicing it on a visceral and physiological level is where it becomes transformative. We know thoughts are things on a chemical messenger level. Those thoughts can actually get coupled with stressful responses of the nervous system or painful sensations in the body and create a feedback loop where each reinforces the other and then reinforces the pathways that are being traveled in the brain, making them stronger. Together, these two separate entities, thoughts and pain, have joined forces and become more powerful. This actually happens on a literal physiological level, but we can also separate them. It takes practice and a nuanced teasing it apart, but the two can be uncoupled and start to lose all that power. That was from Rachel Hardy. Now, after I read this in her email, thanks to my having clocked out from trying to figure out what was happening to me using my brain and what it meant and what we'd have to do about it, I simply started labeling what was happening. Lying in bed, I'd feel pain and say, sensation. And then I'd feel pain again and say, sensation. I'd start a thought in a negative direction and quickly label, story. And in that one word utterance, I'd feel a surge of power that didn't exist for me before. I just lessened my pain. Yes, that quickly. Now, I've spent hours just labeling. And you know, as someone who created self-management for actors would be all about delicious data gathering for future analysis, right? So even as I share this with you, I'm remembering that work is part of such a release. Sensation, sensation, sensation. Ooh, story. Stop that. Sensation. But then it was less sensation because there was no story to feed it. Fear can't build as big a case for my frazzled nervous system and jacked up hormones to create greater defense against. There's no threat, just a sensation every now and then. Peace, lightness, hopefulness that didn't exist just a few days before. Got it. More advice from Rachel Hardy, should you wish to try this with me. Practice experiencing them as the separate entities that they are. What's key is that it's about feeling it more than thinking it, because you are actually unwiring deep patterns as you feel into the sensations of your body and separate these two things out. It's not only derailing the momentum of any fatalistic thinking, it can actually interrupt the pain cycle as well, so as not to be feeding the pain by amping up the stress hormones with the stressful / hopeless thoughts. So separating the sensation from the story will be helpful in both directions. Keep remembering that the experience of what you're feeling pain-wise is not a direct correlation to what is going on. The body is interpreting the sensation and sending messages of danger, extreme threat, and that does not mean that it's true. We can teach the body physiological responses that are more conscious, skilled, and vibrationally higher as we continue to evolve its brilliance and wisdom. Again, that was a quote from Rachel Hardy. Isn't she wonderful? I know. I mean, something more simple than a bajillion-y things that I've tried, but so simple that it was just what I needed. And now here's how that serves you and your acting career. You have an audition that doesn't go so well. You decide you suck. You know your agent's going to drop you because this is the third time you've been in that office without booking. Maybe they're right. This is all so hard. Okay, now let's try that. Separating sensation from story. You have an audition. Sensation that doesn't go well. Story. You decide you suck. Story. You know your agent's going to drop you. Story. Because this is the third time you've been in that office without booking. Sensation. Maybe they're right. Story. This is all so hard. Story. Do you see how that one line is more filled with story than anything else? So let's look at the actual sensations in the situation. You have an audition in an office where this is the third time you've been in without booking. The end. Everything else, story. And that means everything else is 100% optional. How much of the sensation do you want to blow up with all those story elements right now? Sometimes it's good and practical to think of the tough stuff and get to work on fixing it. Believe me, I'm all about going under the hood when it's necessary. But sometimes we just need the pain to fucking stop. I'm seriously into this somatic experiencing so much that I'm doing it in waiting rooms. I was in three of them one day. Oh my God, between acupuncture, therapy, and finally a visit with the doctor who was going to order some more important tests for me at long last. This was just so typical of a day. I would just go from waiting room to waiting room to waiting room to exam to blood work to test. Oh my God, it's crazy. Keith's driving me around everywhere in the rental car that we had to get because my sweet, beloved Tic Tac Roadster would fray the nerves way too much because we were so low to the ground and all vibrating, just like a beautiful Roadster should be. But I wasn't allowed to have that stimulation, that sensation, because I needed to do things that would cause relief. And one of the things that would cause relief is playing sensation, story, sensation, sensation, story, sensation, sensation, less sensation, because the story becomes optional. I would love to know if this is effective for you as well. And yes, in case you're wondering, I am healthy and I am enough. Thank you for joining me for this episode of The Work. We hope you'll rate, review, subscribe, share with your friends, and for all the support that you could dream of, come on over and join us at BonnieGillespie.com. Till next time, stay ninja. Mwah!